Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte is a bold Victorian novel that blends domestic realism with the tension of a moral thriller. Set in a close-knit rural community, it begins with a mystery. A reserved woman, Helen Graham, arrives at the isolated Wildfell Hall with her young son and an unusual determination to live independently. Her guarded manner and refusal to follow local expectations ignite gossip, suspicion, and fascination, especially for the narrator, Gilbert Markham, whose growing attachment draws him deeper into her past. As the story unfolds, the book shifts into a revealing personal account that exposes the hidden cost of a destructive marriage and the limited protections available to women in 19th century England. Often described as one of the earliest feminist novels in English literature, it confronts alcoholism, coercion, and social hypocrisy with unusual directness. The result is a psychologically astute, emotionally gripping work that challenges romantic myths and asks what integrity and freedom require. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a mystery built on gossip and social surveillance. The novel opens by placing the reader inside a small community where reputation functions like currency and social life depends on observation, inference, and rumor. Helen Graham's arrival at Wildfell Hall disrupts this ecosystem. She is polite but distant, protective of her privacy, and unwilling to play the expected roles of a compliant neighbor or flirtatious newcomer. Her independence is treated as suspicious rather than admirable, and the community begins to construct stories about her motives, her morality, and even the identity of her child. Through this framing, the book explores how easily a group can turn uncertainty into certainty, and how quickly a woman can be judged when she does not conform. The narration highlights the ways social surveillance becomes a form of power, limiting what individuals can safely do, even when they have done nothing wrong. This early section also establishes momentum. The tension is not only romantic but investigative, as the reader is invited to question what is true, what is projection, and who benefits from controlling a narrative. The result is a sharply observed portrait of provincial life and the human appetite for scandal. Secondly, Helen Graham and the cost of female autonomy. Helen is compelling because her choices challenge the moral and legal assumptions of her era. She attempts to live on her own terms, earning income through her work and enforcing boundaries to protect herself and her child. Yet the novel makes clear that autonomy has a price. Isolation, misinterpretation, and social punishment follow, and even those who sympathize are tempted to demand explanation she does not owe them. The book examines what independence means when society treats women as dependents by default and when respectability can be revoked by rumor. Helen is not idealized as flawless. Instead, she is depicted as principled, sometimes severe, and deeply reflective about consequences. This complexity strengthens the book's realism and its moral argument. Her determination suggests that self-respect is not simply an attitude, but a practice requiring strategy, sacrifice, and endurance. The novel also shows how autonomy can be relational rather than purely individual. Helen must decide whom to trust, what to disclose, and how to balance compassion with self-protection. In doing so, the story anticipates later conversations about agency, economic security, and the right to define one's own life. Thirdly, marriage, addiction, and the normalization of harm. A central thread of the novel is its unsparing depiction of a marriage damaged by indulgence, cruelty, and the social tolerance of male excess. Rather than treating vice as a colorful flaw, the story connects destructive behavior to its ripple effects on spouses, children, and household stability. Alcohol misuse and reckless living are shown not as isolated personal choices but as forces that reshape a home into an unsafe environment. The narrative also addresses how charm and status can mask harm, enabling an abuser to maintain social standing while those harmed are expected to endure quietly. In this context, marriage becomes a site where moral ideals collide with legal and cultural constraints, especially when a wife has limited recourse. The book emphasizes the gradual erosion of trust and dignity that occurs when harmful behavior is minimized or excused. It also highlights the psychological traps of hoping someone will change and the pressure to preserve appearances. By presenting these dynamics with realism, the novel challenges sentimental portraits of matrimony and insists on accountability. Its candor was controversial in its time, and it remains striking for how clearly it names the mechanisms that keep dysfunction in place. Fourthly, narrative structure, letters, confession, and competing perspectives. The book's impact is heightened by its layered storytelling. The frame narrative, presented through Gilbert Markham's perspective, offers immediacy and the biases of a participant who is both observer and actor. As his fascination grows, the story shifts to a more intimate account that recontextualizes earlier assumptions. This structure encourages the reader to experience uncertainty, then revelation, in a way that mirrors how truth emerges in real life. Partial impressions give way to fuller understanding, and early judgments must be revised. The contrast between viewpoints also becomes a moral lesson about empathy and epistemic humility. What looks like coldness or secrecy can be self-defense. What looks like respectability can conceal rot. The form allows the novel to explore how stories are shaped by desire, pride, and social conditioning. It also creates suspense while maintaining psychological depth, because the disclosure of the past is not mere exposition, but a deliberate act with consequences. By using personal documents and retrospective reflection, the novel examines memory, responsibility, and the difficulty of telling one's own story in a world eager to replace it with rumor. Lastly, moral courage, parenting, and breaking cycles. Beyond romance and scandal, the novel is deeply concerned with ethical action under pressure, especially when a child is involved. Helen is portrayed as a parent determined to prevent her son from inheriting not wealth but harmful habits and distorted values. The story treats parenting as education in character, shaped by daily example and the environment a child is forced to inhabit. This focus gives the novel a forward-looking urgency. The question is not only what adults deserve, but what children learn to accept as normal. The book explores how cycles of behavior are transmitted through permissiveness, peer influence, and the glamorization of vice. It also examines the tension between forgiveness and boundaries. Compassion is not rejected, but it is tested against the need for safety and moral clarity. Helen must decide what kind of courage matters most: endurance in silence or decisive action that invites criticism. The narrative suggests that integrity sometimes requires rejecting socially approved compromises. In presenting a protagonist who prioritizes a child's well-being over reputation, the novel becomes a study of principled resistance. It argues that real virtue is not decorative, but practical, protective, and willing to bear consequences for the sake of a healthier future. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy classic literature with strong psychological realism, as well as anyone interested in early feminist thought, social history, and the darker truths beneath polite society. Fans of the Bronte tradition who expect only romantic intensity will find something rarer here: a clear-eyed critique of marriage and the social systems that reward charm while punishing honesty. The novel can benefit a reader's life by sharpening their awareness of how reputations are manufactured, how harmful behavior gets normalized, and why boundaries matter even when they provoke disapproval. It also offers a nuanced portrayal of agency, showing that courage may look like quiet strategy rather than dramatic heroism. Compared with similar Victorian novels, it stands out for its direct engagement with addiction, coercion, and the practical dangers of unequal power at home. Its narrative design creates suspense without sacrificing moral seriousness, and its heroine remains memorable for her resolve and complexity. Buying this book is worthwhile because it combines page-turning intrigue with lasting insight, delivering both a compelling story and a framework for thinking about autonomy, responsibility, and the cost of silence. If you would like to support Anne Bronte, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.